Hello everyone and welcome to a deadline day special of the Everton podcast here at the Liverpool Echo. I'm with Everton editor Greg O'Keefe and football tipster Tony Scott. Greg, start with you. We've seen a couple in, we've seen bids rejected for players, but is this sort of nagging feeling and the overriding kind of emotion in the cloud that hangs over this transfer deadline day the fact that Everton have not secured the number 10 that the manager prioritised?
Yeah, I think it's got to be classed as a major disappointment for the club, for the manager and for the supporters not to be able to recruit the number 10 that the club have been crying out for some time now. Roberto Martinez made no bones about it. That's the position he looks to strengthen. And, you know, he vowed that from every window when he's the manager, Everton Football Club will emerge stronger. Now, it's a semantic game, isn't it? Do you say that technically they are stronger? Well, they've added more players than they've sold. So you could argue that they're stronger, but materially, are they stronger? I'd warrant they're not. I think stronger was getting the number 10 that they needed. I think that makes that team stronger. I don't think extra bodies makes it stronger. I don't even think, and this is no disrespect to Aaron Lennon, who I think's a useful player and will improve Everton's threat down the flanks. Don't think he makes them materially stronger enough to be star challenger for the top five, top six. I hope I'm wrong, but I think it's going to be interesting to hear what the manager, the board, have to say about why they couldn't do that deal, which he'd outlined as so vital from day one.
Tom, same question to you, mate.
Yeah, I totally agree with Greg, cause, to be honest. I think it's been not the best of windows yet. They've signed three or four players, but will he make Everton from where we finished last season into a top six team? No, because the teams that finished all above them, they improved a lot. Your Crystal Palaces, your Stokes, Swansea's, they've all improved. So I can't see anything else but to be positive about on this window.
Go on, Greg, carry on, mate.
No, I mean, look, the immediate kind of thought to that, what you've just said, is that they kept hold of John Stones. And
That's not Everton's ambition. It can't be.
No,
just keeping hold of your players.
I agree. It's a positive aspect, and it'd be remiss of us to ignore that they did that. You know, they ignored a lot of money. However, I still think everyone's going away feeling certainly a little bit dejected, because John Stones was in the team last season that finished where that finished.
Yeah,
that's what I mean about being
stronger.
So was
Lennon, to be fair.
That's what I mean about being stronger. They needed that number 10 and they haven't got one. So.
All right, well, let's sort of go the other side then. Of the players that they've brought in, are you pleased with the players and the business that they have done?
I think, like you say, Aaron Lennon, you know, is a useful player. He provides some. He obviously works extremely hard. That was kind of widely credited while he was here last season. He can create goals. Yeah, pace is never a bad thing to have on the side. I do think we're overloaded with wingers. Mm. I wonder why they've got so many now. There was talk of Aidan McGeady going out today. Yeah, he hasn't gone. So he sits there continuing to take a big wage off the club and rarely playing. I have to say that's been an unsuccessful signing, really. Murray, they've paid perhaps a lot of money, really, for a player who's never played outside South America. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I know River Plate fans were seemingly gutted to see him leave. He's good age, left-footed, could be one for the future. The thing is, he's not coming in to start the first team, so yet they've paid nearly £10 million for him, but yeah. I don't think that gives fans the buzz and the excitement and the lift psychologically that they get from a big-name signing or, you know, seeing the club show some financial kind of muscle.
On that one, I think a lot of fans would rather bite the bullet and play a Tyus Browning in that reserve role and pay the £10 million for a number 10.
Maybe, though, on that respect, the money wasn't, from what we're told, with the Yarmolenko deal, the money wasn't the issue in terms of Everton. We're willing to match that release clause, but Kiev sort of were very tough to negotiate with, and, you know, the goalposts were being moved, I think.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that might well be the case, Phil, but, you know, most clubs have various targets, and they're dealing with one player, with one camp, with one group of agents, and one target, and they're lining up other potentials if that target fails. Now, Yarmolenko, we heard some weeks ago, you reported that the interest had cooled and that had become too complex. Where was plan B? Where was plan C?
Well, obviously, Shaqiri was on this list as well, and that disappeared. Yarmolenko was on this list, that disappeared.
Bernard,
so, obviously, yeah.
Shakhtar, so, you know.
This list must go on and on and on, and he failed to get this number 10, which the fans desperately wanted.
How do you think it changes the sort of feeling going into that Chelsea game? Because, you know, a good window can help create a buzz, and there's all that John Stones sort of business behind us now. And do you think it maybe takes a little bit off that? I mean, we're looking sort of quite far ahead there, but you know, the feeling at Goodison, you know, and we spoke about home form being difficult and Everton sort of struggling to unlock defences at times. I mean, do you think it sort of takes the edge off what could have been, may still be, you know, like a top atmosphere on that day? Or,
well, I think, you know, Roberto Martinez's thoughts ahead of that game will be very interesting. Okay, there's a international break this weekend, so we don't know whether or not Martinez will face the press and talk about the window. It's probably more likely he'll speak to the club's website and he might be asked about it there. But then, you know, in the week building up to the Chelsea game, he's going to be asked about that number 10. And I think what he says will have a huge kind of bearing on how the fans feel going into Chelsea. But he'll probably say that he didn't want to sign someone for the sake of it. He couldn't get the player he wanted that would really improve the squad. And then there's January coming up, he might allude to that. And he wasn't going to waste money in bringing someone a name just like I say, for the sake of it. Mm. He's always insisted that.
Yeah.
I understand that. I think there's a lot to be said for that approach. But from now until January and maybe beyond, they haven't got that player. Will he find it from within? I don't think Ross Barkley is a natural number 10. Kevin Morales can play there, but if Kevin Morales was the answer, why was he looking for one so hard? Well, why did he say he was looking for one so desperately? De La Feu, for me, he's a winger. You know, who else can play in between the lines like that? You know, Kieran Dowell's supposedly coming through as a top player, but he's far too raw and young to be thrust into injured.
My concerns are for when we play our home games. Last season, they struggled to create barely a minimum of chances, and the teams are just coming to Goodison and sitting back, and Everton are struggling to create chances, let alone score goals. So this team, it's going to be exactly the same, and this number 10 has caused massive problems now. When Everton are going to play football in the next season.
Phil, do you think, you know, Stephen Naismith is one player who's ended up staying today after being linked with a move away. Do you think Stephen Naismith can now sort of, he scored against Barnsley, can he fill that number 10 role?
Well, he's always shown the potential to, but hasn't ever been able to sort of consistently sort of hammer that place down. You know, he fought his way back off the bench in Martinez's first season, was, you know, the super sub and earned his place and was terrific in that position. Started off last season on fire, but then his form dipped as the teams did. And obviously now he finds himself back on the bench. Look, he's got the potential, but clearly that, again, as you said, the fact that the manager wanted to go out and buy somebody obviously says that the manager isn't fully, you know, confident in Steve. You know, he remains a huge part of the squad and a vital member of it. But obviously, you know, the manager sees that he needs somebody more specialised, you know, and somebody of a better quality. So, yeah, and you know, maybe if the manager had been able to bring that player in, Stevens' move to Norwich may have happened.
I just think the mindset of football fans is different, especially the younger generation of fans. They look into Sky's product of deadline day. Mm-hmm. It's like a carnival, and it's all about who can splash the most cash. And like it or not, and whether it's right or not, it does have an effect on fans' morale. Now, like Tony said, other clubs who finished above Everton last season have gone and spent a lot of money. Mm. Then you've got the clubs who finish in the top four who've spent even more money. I'm talking about United with Martial, City with De Bruyne. Mm. You know, Liverpool signed Firmino in June. They got the business done in June. Everton were unable to do the business in June, July, and it's gone up to, you know, September the 1st, and it's not happened. Why is that? It's whether it's right
That's
or wrong.
That's the question the fans will be asking. That is the question the fans will be asking.
Whether it's right or wrong to attach so much value to spending, if you like, people do it. Mm-hmm. And I think Everton need to be a bit more transparent about why this hasn't happened in this window.
You are right, though, about this sort of sense of disappointment. It always gets ramped up by deadline day.
Of course it does, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It magnifies it, doesn't it, and sort of makes the feelings worse because it just get hyped up. And if you're not seen to be doing loads of business on any other transfer day, you get two deals done, you'd be made up, wouldn't you? Yeah.
And don't forget, this current Everton team went to St Mary's and produced one of the most impressive displays of attack and counter-attack in football we've seen in a long time. Plenty to be positive about, but my concern is exactly what Tony says and what you've written so many times this season and last. It's different at home. Mm. Teams don't play like Southampton did at St Mary's, and that's where Everton, it's that pattern of, you know, the sideways passing, the slow tempo, and not having someone to pick a lock and open a defence. That's my concern now.
Plenty to talk about. Plenty that will rumble on, of course, over the next couple of weeks until we speak to the manager again and play again. But thanks for listening. Keep checking the Echo Online for all the latest news and analysis.